Look who walked into my studio. I haven't clapped eyes on you in, I don't know, 10 years more?
I hope it's not been that long, John. And good morning. You look exactly the same, and you certainly sound exactly the same.
Well, thank you very much. David Miller is here, former mayor of Toronto. And worth noting, because I've often tried to get you on the show. Sometimes you've done it. But, I mean, you live on the West Coast now, don't you?
About half the year. Yep.
Okay. So do you still have a residence here?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, our kids are here, and my mother-in-law's here. So, you know, we're really grounded in Toronto. But on my mom's side of my family, they're all in Victoria.
Okay.
So I spent a lot of time out there, and it's beautiful. We just had spring, which seems to be starting here in Toronto.
The blossoms are out at U of T.
Well, they've been out for the last month in Victoria, not to make people jealous, but it's fabulous. It does make it hard, though, to come on early morning radio when you're on Pacific time. So,
okay.
Well, my apologies for that.
The occasion of your visit is a book called Solved, How the World's Great Cities Are Fixing the Climate Crisis. It struck me that there are two aspects to this. One is that cities are adapting to climate change, but also, as you argue in this book, cities perhaps leading more than nations in fighting the actual problem.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to me that, you know, we all understand that climate change is an issue. National governments, you know, they're slow, but they say the right things together internationally. But it's really in cities that we see action. And, you know, the science is pretty grim. And we saw from the wildfires last year in Canada, this is real. It's serious. It has serious impacts. And the science says we need to roughly halve emissions by 2030. So the reason I wrote the book was to show that's possible. If we take what's being done in some cities somewhere and do it at speed everywhere,
yeah,
we've got a real chance of making a difference.
Okay, give me some examples then.
Well, for example, you need a climate plan.
Yeah.
The world's great cities, including Toronto, all have a climate plan. Those plans, from an urban lens, look at how we build and operate our buildings, transportation, how we manage our waste, how we generate clean electricity. And if you get those things right, you make a big difference. So Tokyo, for example, has a cap and trade program. You know, the carbon tax is very controversial in Canada. Tokyo, as a city, has its own cap and trade program. So that limits emissions on buildings, on big buildings. They've dropped dramatically. Shenzhen in China, virtually all its public transportation, all its taxis are electric. Los Angeles runs its own electric utility. It'll be completely clean by 2031. Now, in Ontario, we have a pretty good grid, but that's not true everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not true in Alberta, for example. All these things show it's possible to make really dramatic change very quickly. We just have to choose to do it.
All right. So let's focus on Toronto for a moment, because you took a lot of heat, for example, for being very, very sort of globally climate change oriented. And a lot of people said, just, you know, take the garbage away, please. I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think people at the same time were very proud to see the city take a leadership role, but they also want to see the city be a city that is there for themselves and their family and is the kind of city they want to live in. That has, you know, great parks, great public services, as you point out, including keeping the streets clean. You know, my first campaign was about the clean and beautiful city in part, as you might remember, John. And I think one of the great things about climate change, you do it right, it brings all those things together. Because what do people want? They want a real chance for them and their family, good jobs. They want great parks and public facilities. They want great public transit. They want to live in a neighborhood where all the services they need are there. And if you have a climate plan that builds a really resilient city that is low carbon, it builds that kind of city that's easy to get around, that's relatively prosperous. And we've seen it in Toronto. You know, our climate plan in 2007 called Changes in the Air has stood the test of time. Emissions are over 30% lower here now, and the city's boomed. You know, we have challenges with the price of housing. We have challenges with street homelessness. We have challenges, I think, from my personal perspective, public services weren't invested in over the last decade. But, you know, on the climate front, we've done extremely well because of the same kind of principles that we see in the book.
What do you make, though, at the national level of the sort of generalized disapproval of the carbon tax? I mean, it's probably a winning thing for Pierre Poilievre. Whether or not he follows through, I don't know, because we saw the HST election. But Canadians, when it comes to actually paying a penalty for polluting, don't want to do it.
I think it's more complicated than that, and it's a really fair and good question. I think, first of all, Prime Minister Trudeau doesn't get enough credit for good things he's done, and I think the carbon tax gets wrapped up in all of that.
I don't think my listeners think he's done anything.
No, well, I know your listeners, John, and you know, but I, you know, there's been all sorts of things, and he handled COVID pretty well, all things considered. It was enormously difficult, and he showed leadership. And yes, it's true. There's a lot of yelling about the carbon tax right now, but you know. If you look at it, first of all, why should pollution be free? There are increasing studies showing the connection between pollution from vehicles in particular and the burning of fossil fuels with cancer, with serious lung issues, and interestingly, new studies showing a correlation with particulate matter and dementia. So there are huge, ignoring climate for a moment, there are huge issues with pollution. Why should it be free to create carbon pollution? You know, just because our economic system allows that. Secondly, I think Prime Minister Trudeau, if his communication advisors are smart, and they haven't always been, can turn this issue like this. Well, but there we go.
Okay.
Because we saw last year people really paid attention to climate when the wildfires were happening because everybody understood this was abnormal. You know, we've got flooding in Dubai. They had a year and a half rainfall yesterday. These kind of events are going to happen more and more unless we take action. And, you know, for the Trudeau government, the carbon tax was sort of their price of admission. This is their action. And I think Canadians are capable of understanding that. We'll see what happens, you know, over the next year. I mean, who knows?
What do you say to the likes of Jerry Agar, for example, who will point out that Canada's responsible for 2% of carbon emissions globally, so why should we care?
Well, I think
I've had some great chats with Jerry
over the years. I mean, you could say that about any country, right? Yes, of course, China and the United States are the biggest countries, but this is a global problem. We all have to do our part. You know, if Canada is responsible for 2% and the United Kingdom 3% and Germany 4%, do they all get a free pass? That doesn't make sense. We all have to do our part. And we are one of the biggest, actually, per capita creators of carbon pollution because primarily of the bitumen deposits in Alberta. So Canada actually has an obligation to do better than most. That would be my response to Jerry. And hi, Jerry, if you're listening.
Oh, he's listening. He'll play this back later on. Do you talk to Olivia Chow at all?
Now and then, yes.
Yeah, just curious. I mean, do you miss civic politics?
I don't. I thought I might, but, you know, I'm lucky. I've moved on. I work for this global organization of mayors who are working on climate change. We're doing some really interesting work. We just released a study, for example, that shows because of leaks in the pipes, natural gas is almost as bad for the climate as coal. And people are acting like it's a solution. It isn't. You know, maybe 30 years ago it might have helped. We need to move way on really quickly. And the good news is, as shown in the book, it's possible.
Thanks for this. Good to see you.
John, thanks for having me on. Cheers.
David Miller, former mayor of Toronto. The name of the book is Solved: How the World's Great Cities Are Fixing the Climate Crisis.